Tuesday the 26th of February, Rabbi Malcolm Herman, the parameters of Tochacha.
Passing passage to Bereshim, let's listen to Chicham of Avecha, Hocheach, the Hocheach, and the Sechav, let's listen to Olav Chais. The source for the mitzvah of Tochacha, the mitzvah to approve somebody else. So all the Farshim talk about the juxtaposition of various phraseologies in this pasuk, particularly in the last part, let's listen to Olav Chais. It says, don't hate your fellow man, your brother, rebuke him or reprove him, and don't carry an iniquity on his behalf. So, Rashi learns, Lo Sisa Lo Chait, is Lo Sal Benes Pala Barabim. So when you are rebuking somebody else, you must do so in a way which is sensitive, and not in a way that's going to embarrass them, and otherwise, if one does so in the wrong way, then, in fact, rather than fulfilling the mitzvah, one has acquired for oneself, if you like, one has transgressed in the process. The Rambam brings, or Onkelos, actually Rambam and Onkelos bring, that in fact, if one does not rebuke somebody else for an avera that they have done, then you carry part of that iniquity. You carry part of that avera, or you carry an avera. Or someone in the Achronim actually says it's actually that avera. You share responsibility for that very self-same avera that you have failed to reprove them about. The Rabban in his own Pirish brings that this is a combination, the Pasuk is a seemingly combination, that there is an avera to hate somebody else. It's an avera to hate somebody else. The opposite of the mitzvah is to love somebody else, which is the next Pasuk. And therefore, if one has a sense of friction with somebody else and doesn't speak it out and doesn't have it out with them, then the hate that one carries is the hate of hating somebody else. And he says, if you actually have it out face to face, then 9 times out of 10, he doesn't give that statistic, but he says that you'll be able to work it through and then will not walk around with the avera of sinner in one's heart. So three different shots in terms of what actually is the avera that one transgresses. The interesting thing is, what are the parameters of this mitzvah of Hochacha? So I'd like to have a look for a few minutes at the sugya that revolves around this. There is a Gemara in Arachin that says as follows. I'm not going to run through the quotes here, but you can see it for yourselves. Hocheach Tochiach. Bring us the Lashon Hocheach Tochiach. That the emphasis of the Torah is a double Lashon. Hochichu v'lo kibul minayin shiach tabiachichanus. How do I know that if you've had a go and you have not been successful, you've got to go back again? Says the Gemara, Tochiach. Hocheach Tochiach. That means an emphatic phrase. You go the first time and the second time. Doesn't this is the first time, they go back, have another go. Maybe even if their face is going to change, they're going to become embarrassed. Fate says the Gemara, quoting the pasuk, no, don't do it in such a way that it's going to embarrass them, and that's the trap that Rashi brings. Then the Gemara brings an interesting conversation, which we'll just quote. The Metaraphim says, I'd be amazed if in this generation there's anybody around who can be makabel tochacha. He says, you go up to somebody today and you say to him, you know, you've got a splinter between your eyes, and he says, you've got a beam between your eyes, right? This is a metaphor. You say to somebody, you know, what you're doing isn't quite correct. They say, yeah, how can you tell me? Look what you're doing, you're in a much worse position than I am. Then the Gemara says, listen, I'm amazed if anyone in this generation can receive Tochacha. And then the Gemara brings, from Yochanan Menuri, he says, Meid, Ani, Alai, Shemayim, Oretz. I give testimony that many, many times I gave Tochacha to Akiva, and the more that I rebuked him, the more he loved me. A quote from the Pasuk in Mishnah, Al tochach leit penis me'echa, don't rebuke the mocker in case they will hate you. Hochach lechocha me'ehevcha, ve'yehevecha. But rebuke the chocham and they will love you. So if a person knows where the rebuke is coming from, or the reproof, and they know that you mean it for their spiritual interest, then the more that you put them correct, they know it's coming from a place of love, which we'll come back to. So this Gemara certainly establishes that the obligation is quite an emphatic one. Hocheach Tochiach. Doesn't work the first time, have another go. But how many times can you go? So look at source number 4 for a minute, then we'll come back to source number 3. Hocheach Chalezinna. If you do it once, Tochiach Mitzrezinna. Amalei, Hocheach Afinu Mea Pomim Mashma. It wasn't just once and then twice. No matter how many times it takes, you keep going, you keep going, you keep going, whether a rab to a Talmud, or even a Talmud to a rab, you see somebody else whose actions are incorrect, then don't give up, even if it takes you 100 times of process to reprove. Back to source number 3. Question is, as Heichon Tochacha, what does that mean? If you go back, and you go back. What does it mean? What type of reaction might you encounter? So Rav says, as Hakar, you actually continue to reprove them until they hit you. When they hit you, then you stop, which is good news. Shmuel Amar, as Klala. I did actually see in one of their acronyms, it doesn't mean literally till they hit you, but you place yourself, when they reach for the ornamental samurai sword and their mantelpiece, and they say, I've heard what you've got to say, then you have permission to make for the door, but you say, okay, I'm Yotze now, and off you go. Shmuel says, Ad Kalala, not quite until they hit you, but until they curse you. The Yochanan and Amar and the Zifa until they express the exasperation of, with you. And then the Gemara brings it from Tanoim as well, and it all revolves around episodes in Tanakh and a passing in Tanakh. When David HaMelech does not turn up by arrangement at the Suda of Rosh Chodesh, and Shaul remonstrates with Yehonasan, where is he? And Yehonasan actually reproves his father, and he says to him, why do you want to kill him? What have you against again? What have you against again? Lama Yomos Me'asa. Why do you want to kill him? What has he done? And then Shmuel says, and Shmuel attempts to strike him with the sword. Shaul attempts to strike him with the sword and to kill him. But before that, he curses him. He curses him. Who do you think you are? You are choosing to side with David the Melech over and against the honor of our household, the honor of the kingdom. And then he attempts to kill him. So here we see three different reactions from Shaul. One reaction is, gets exasperated, and then he curses him, and then he attempts to kill him. So the machlokes over here is, well, Yehonasan was in the middle of fulfilling the mitzvah of Tevchacha. And here we see how far he went. He went even to the point of risking his own life. So hence, this is the source for the debate amongst the Tanoim and the Amoraim about how far does one have to go. How do we reckon, how do they each learn the Pesukim? The Gemara itself brings that it could be that in fact the halacha is not to go so far as risking one's own life, but Yehonasan, because of his love for David, was prepared to risk his life even beyond the parameters of the halacha. Because of his love for David himself. And therefore, those who maintain, for example, that Rabbi Yochanan says Ad Nazifa, only up to exasperation, but Yehonasan risked his life beyond that, even to the point of curse and risking his life. No, that wasn't because that was the halacha. The halacha was to the point of exasperation. He went lifnim mishurat hadin because of his affection, because of his love for David HaMelech. So certainly we've seen so far the obligations, and we'll see in our very brief look at Shulchan Aruch, it's quite surprising how we pass them like, which of these should we pass them like. The obligations are the key passage, Hokeach, not just once, but several times. And we can see that everyone agrees, at least Ad Nazifa, to the point of exasperation. In other words, it's not just a polite, hope you don't mind if I point out to you what you're doing isn't quite correct. It's beyond that, you know, until they say to you, listen, I really don't like what you're saying to me. You know, please back off. And according to Shmuel, it's until Klala. And according to Rav, it's even until you are in potential physical danger. In fact, a Gemara that's often quoted in source number 5 over here, Lo Chorbo Yerushalayim Ela Bishvil Shehichu Zeh Zeh. But one of the reasons brought for the destruction of Beis Hamikdash is because there was a failure to act on this. People saw others who were acting inappropriately and acting in a manner that was inconsistent with Torah mitzvahs, and they failed to say anything. They preferred to duck away from the issue. Now, let's have a look at one more Gemara in Shabbos. I'm going to quote it. It's a long quote here. Let me just summarize it for you. It's quite a frightening Gemara, actually. And the bit I'm focusing on is the bit that's underlined in the middle. The Rav Zeira says to Rav Simon that we ought to rebuke the house of the Reish Galusa. There are certain activities that are happening there which are incorrect. And he says to them, we ought to rebuke them. And Rav Simon's reply is, Lo mekabel minoy. It's no point me saying anything. They will not accept it. They're not interested in hearing my rebuke. They will not accept it. It'll fall on deaf ears. So he says to them, nonetheless, you should. And he says, no. And he brings the following fascinating dialogue. It says as follows, Me'olam lo yotzasa midotobam mipik adesh baruchu v'chozabot l'ra chutz midavazet. It has never happened that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has offered something good and then it's become negative apart from in this area. And it quotes from Yechezkel, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs the Malachi Chavola to wrought pain in the world. But before doing so, the instruction is given out that a Malach should go out and place ink on their foreheads of those who are righteous. Now, on those who felt the pain of the wrong that was done. Now, the Malach then says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, one second, why are you protecting these people? Why do these tzaddikim have divine right of protection? So Hashem says, because they haven't done anything. So he says, but hang on a second, but it's true that they were not engaged in the negative activities, but they could have protested, and they didn't. They could have protested. So Hashem says, listen, I know that their protest would have fallen on deaf ears. No point in them protesting. I know their protest would have fallen on deaf ears. So the response came back and says, yeah, you know that. Because you're a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But did they know that? They didn't know that. They didn't know that their protest would have fallen on deaf ears. Therefore, their obligation should have been to protest. And by not protesting, they are held to be culpable. And in fact, it seems that they say that this divine protection was not given to those people. Divine protection was not given to those people. So all these Gemaras so far point in a very powerful way to the degree of obligation of Chochmah. But there are two Gemaras, often quoted, at least two, but these famously quoted, which point in the other direction. The first one is in source number 7 of the Gemara in Yevamos. K'shem shemitzvah adam remezav anishma. Just as there is a mitzvah to say something that will be heard, so there is a mitzvah not to say something that will not be heard. Just as there is a mitzvah to say something that will be heard, so there is a mitzvah not to say something that will not be heard. In fact, Rabbi Abba comes along and says, it's a chayva. Not only is it a mitzvah, it's an obligation. Don't say something that will not be heard. Don't protest to somebody or reprove it will fall on deaf ears. And again, we bring our apostle from Mishnah, Al Tochach Leit. Don't rebuke the Malkah, because they'll hate you. Rebuke the Chochmah, and they will love you. So this Gemara goes in the opposite direction. The question is how to reconcile that. Another Gemara which goes in the opposite direction is the Gemara in Beitzer. Gemara in Beitzer is talking about, it's really two halachic issues that are brought there. One is the idea of clapping or using or tapping on Yom Tov or Shabbos in accompaniment to music. And the Gemara there says, we see these days that people do this and no one protests. The rabbis don't say anything. People do, they clap and they dance, the rabbis don't say anything. And then we bring another example, an example in Hilchos Shabbos. There is a gzeira that you're not allowed to sit on the edge of a Rishus Rabim within a Mavoi. In case you're tempted to drag something across the threshold of a Mavoi from Rishus Rabim into the Mavoi. That's a gzeira, you're not allowed to do that. We saw these various women who did this, and no one protested. So in these two examples, we see that there was an infringement of halacha without any protest. Says the Gemara, Hanoch lehem liYisrael, leave them alone. Mutav shiyu shogin v'alyu mizidim. It's better that they transgress inadvertently than they transgress deliberately. That says the Gemara, we assume this is only in Dinei Darabonan. That's the Gemara's assumption. Hanimin Darabonan. We assume that this caveat on the mitzvah of Achoch is only Midrabonan. Says the Gemara, no, it's not true. It's even Midaraita. We bring the example of Tosefes Yom Kippurim. There is a mitzvah in our Torah to add from the day before Yom Kippur to Yom Kippur, to bring the Yom Tov in early, mitzvah in our Torah, and yet we saw there were certain people that didn't do that, and no protest was made, even though this is a deraita. Even though this is a deraita. And in fact, the halachas of this, of Achoch, are actually brought in Orach Chaim, in Tafresh Ches, in this halacha, actually, over here, about the idea of adding from Yom Kippur, from Erev Yom Kippur to Yom Kippur, and it's over there that all these halachas are brought. So now we have two sources that go in the opposite direction. Two sources that say, hang on a second, there are various caveats, various restrictions, various restraints. Don't say something that cannot be heard, if it cannot be heard. Even a chayva, don't say anything better, don't say anything at all. And the other one that says, wait a minute, be very careful about upgrading a person's issa, which is really the issue over here. This person is transgressing inadvertently, or they don't really know. And why do you want to reprove them? Because you care for them. Because they're another Jew, they're doing something really care for them. Now they didn't know it was wrong. So you come along and say, Hetzachim, my friend, what you're doing is wrong. And they say, well, I can't stop it anyway. So now what you've done, you have transformed them from a shogeg into a mezid. You haven't done them a spiritual favor, you've placed them in a much more spiritually precarious position. You've transformed them, you've now upgraded their issa. So therefore, mutav shiyu shogeg, better that they remain with their ignorance. In this example, I won't say ignorance is bliss, but at least ignorance is better in this example than knowledge. So the question is, how do we reconcile these two Gemaras? How do we reconcile these two Gemaras? About which there is much discussion. In fact, the Hagar's Maimonides on the Rambam, in Hilchos Deis, which I haven't brought in the sheets, in Hilchos Deis, Perek Vav, Sifon Gimel, he says, in Vadai Lo Shlo Yekablu, if it's clear that the rebuke will not be listened to, Oz Nira the Prophet. It's clear that you are exonerated from rebuke. And interestingly enough, he brings a raya from Agamor and Shabbos. Agamor and Shabbos, with this whole Vikuach in Shemaim, Hashem said to the Malachim, well, hang on a second, they didn't know. Sorry, they would never have listened. The Malach responds, yeah, you know that, but they didn't know that. It's clear from there that had it been absolutely clear to the Chacham at the time that they wanted to listen, as clear as it was to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then there would be no obligation. So the God's Maimonides brings from over here that you can see that this is a restriction. If you're absolutely clear that it will fall on deaf ears, then there is no obligation at all. But the Shulah in his Hatzamah, this first parak, I should say, he asked the following interesting question, which is an obvious question, but it really articulates the cleft between the two Gemaras. One Gemara appears to say, hold fire, don't say something that will not be heard. Our Gemara that we brought at the beginning over here, Gemara in Erechin, says, one second, you've got to protest until they scream, at least till they scream. You've got to protest until they curse you. Now it's clear that these are people who are not going to listen to you. They're not going to listen to you. And yet the Gemara is saying, keep going. I mean, certainly according to the first shitter over there, that you've got to protest until they hit you. Far, far beyond that, they've made it absolutely clear they don't want to hear what you have to say. So one Gemara says, don't say something that cannot be said. And the other Gemara says, no, keep protesting until they curse you or until they hit you. So how do those two things reconcile? And so I'd like to share with you two terutzim on this. One terutz is brought in the Mukhi Yosef on Yevamos and the Gemara Sugi over here. And the other terutz is actually brought in the Shlach and in the Orchanet. How do you reconcile these two Gemaras? The Gemara that says hold fire, and the Gemara that says keep going, even beyond the point where they've demonstrated that they don't want to hear from you again, ever again, probably. So the Mukhi Yosef says there's a distinction between a Yochid and a Rabbi. Are you protesting against the actions of a Yochid, an individual, or are you protesting against the actions of a Rabbi, of a crowd, of a community? And he says as follows. When the Gemara in Yevamos says hold fire, don't say something that cannot be heard, that is to a rabbi. To a rabbi, you don't get up and say something that cannot be heard, they're not going to listen to it, it's going to fall on deaf ears. When the Gemara in Arachin says that you keep protesting, that is to a yachid, to an individual, you keep going. What about the Gemara in Shabbos? The Gemara in Shabbos, where it seems that there was some obligation to protest to the Reish Gadol, so this wasn't a yachid, as it were, this represented a rabbi. This was those who represented the rabbit. In which case, why is it over there that, why was there any obligation over there? I mean, he said, they're not going to listen to me. Why was there any obligation at all? Why was there any time in Shammai at all on them? So the Namukhi Yosef says, just once. You've got to at least protest once. Until you've protested once, you cannot be completely confident that they won't listen. So even to a rabbin, you've got to get up once and say, listen, on both sides, what you're doing is incorrect. And I protest about it, and you should know, I'm doing this out of love, etc., etc., once you have to. But if it then gets brushed off, to a rabbi you stop. So to a yochid, you keep going, even if it gets brushed off. And that's how the Mukhi Yosef reconciles the Gemara. And the Tainer in Shemayim was they didn't even protest once. They didn't even protest once. That was the Tainer in Shemayim. And that's how the Mukhi Yosef reconciles these Gemaras. In which case, the parameters would be quite clear. For a rabbi, the protest, now obviously if there's receptivity, then you keep going, no question about it. And you encourage. He was talking about what's going to fall on deaf ears. So a rabbi was going to fall on deaf ears, you protest once, even if you're fairly confident it won't be received, at least once to establish that is the case. Until then, you cannot say with confidence that is the case. So a yachid, even if it falls on deaf ears, you keep going, and you keep going, and you keep going, depending on which issue that we follow. See, both the Shalot doesn't. He actually doesn't bring this church at all. That's brought from the Haggadah from the Shlach. Doesn't bring this church at all. The author there suggests the reason why the Shlach doesn't really go for this church is because the Gemara that we cite to encourage restraint is the Gemara we brought over here in source number 7 in Yevamos. Now that Gemara says, now how are we now learning that Gemara? We're saying the Gemara says, when the Gemara says don't say something that cannot be heard, that is only to a rabbi. Now the problem is that he even brings Alton Kachalait. Now, the pasuk that the Gemara brings is in the singular. It implies, says the Aruch there, this is talking about even to an individual. Don't rebuke an individual who can't listen to you. So we're citing this Gemara to make a distinction between the individual and the rabbi. And saying this Gemara, which says, hold your fire, is only talking about a rabbi, but this, the pasuk that the Gemara brings, and the whole phraseology of the Gemara, implies that even restraint must be exercised in an individual as well. Not just a rabbi, restraint is necessary in an individual as well. So although the Shulah does not explain completely, although the truth is the Shulah comes at the whole thing from a different angle, but they often there suggest that this is part of the Shulah's reservation about the distinction of the Mukhi Yosef. That although the Mukhi Yosef makes a distinction between Rabbim and Yochid, the Gemara that he cites for restraint, which he applies to Rabbim, appears to be talking about the Yochid. So, let me share with you the words of the Aruch Meir, which are brought in source number 9. He says the difference is as follows, and I've underlined in source number 9. The chayin yosinira mashitir tishnah, the chaka atakar, he b'sha'over yodeya sha'over avera. When do we say that the person, you've got to keep going? That is when the transgressor knows that they are transgressing. Knows they are transgressing. They have an awareness that they're transgressing. They recognize it's an avera. As long as they recognize that they are in the wrong, there is hope. Avo b'shamatkish sh'ein z'avera klal. When they protest that this is not avera at all. Mitzvah shlo lo magam shenishma. So the Aruch Meir says, the distinction is not between Yach and the rabbit. The distinction is between the type of Yachid that we are talking about. When do we say that you keep going? That's when the person knows it's an avera. They know they're doing something wrong. Even if they're struggling with accepting it, but there's hope there, because there's that acknowledgement that they're wrong. But the person thinks they're doing it, nothing wrong at all. They deny there's anything wrong with this in the slightest, that there's any there's any guilt attached to it whatsoever. Then, he says, that's when there's no point. There's no point. It brings a very interesting riot from this. Riot from the Gemara in Brachos, in Yod HaMadalah, where the famous altercation tonight between Hizkiyahu HaMelech and Yeshayahu. As you know, the episode there brought some Gemara there, that there was a reluctance of one to visit the other until Hizkiyahu became ill, and Yeshayahu then went to visit him. Now, Yeshayahu had a message for him, which was, why did he become ill? Because Hizkiyahu had refused to fulfill the mitzvah puravu. Why did he refuse to fulfill the mitzvah puravu? Because he knew that his descendants would not be righteous. They would be wicked, they would not be righteous. So he thought, so that's why there was, now fight the Aruch Meir, hang on a second. Surely, the Navi had a chiyuv to go and be mochiyachim. I mean, how chayav still here? Aside from all the other considerations why he didn't want to go, or didn't want to go. But at the end of the day, he had a mitzvah to go mochiyachim. He knew he was transgressing a deraisa. He had a mitzvah to go mochiyachim. Why didn't he go and be mochiyachim? Says the Aruch Meir, because in Hizkiyahu's mind, this had become a mitzvah now, almost. And certainly he maintained this was not available anymore. He was doing the right thing. This was one of those occasions he maintained, not that there are any occasions, when Puravu should be suspended. And therefore he felt he was doing absolutely right. And that's why there was no issue raised about why the Mavi wasn't Melchiyahim and fulfilled mitzvah of Hesiah. So often that brings that as a riot for the principle that he cites on behalf of the Shalah, that is that even in a Yachid, there's a distinction between their receptivity levels. If they recognize it's an Avera, you keep protesting. You have hope. There's a possibility that your words may penetrate. If they deny there's any Avera whatsoever, as happened in this case, so then there's no point. Then there's no point at all. I have to say, actually, that if you look at the Shalah himself, the Lashonis of the Shalah seem to go in a different way. Okay, you've seen the Shalah on this. The actual Lashonis of the Shalah seem to give a slightly different emphasis on Aruch Meir. I don't know if there are different Lashonis, but I don't know. Because the actual Lashonis is a newfangled printed Shalah. But because actually the Shalah says something very different. Or the way I understand it. He actually says the distinction is between somebody who knows what they're doing wrong or not. And his emphasis appears to be that where they know what they're doing wrong, where they know what they're doing wrong, one second, you keep going. When they don't know what they're doing wrong, you stop. Not quite like the Aruch Meir. The Aruch Meir says, the distinction is, do they know it's an Avera or not? Right? But the emphasis of Shalah appears to be a little bit different. And it brings a very interesting riot from the Rosh. In other words, the Aruch Meir is saying, if they know they're doing wrong, you keep going. If they know they're doing wrong, you keep going. If they don't know they're doing wrong, if they know they're doing wrong, you keep going. If they think that what they're doing is completely right, that's distinction. Do they know what they're doing is wrong? Or do they think that what they're doing is right? If they think what they're doing is right, there's no point at all. The Aruch Meir, the Rishon himself appears to say that you keep going where they know it's wrong. Where they know it's wrong, you keep going. And even where there's an expectation for them to know it's wrong. And there's an expectation for them to know it's wrong. Because there's one very important caveat on all of this, which is as follows, and then we'll summarize. When the Gemara in Beit Yosef says, that you must be very careful about upbraiding their transgression. Be careful about upbraiding their transgression. So the Rosh there brings about it. And he says that with this principle, don't say something that you may risk upbraiding their transgression, is only true for something that isn't before the cross. If it's explicitly written in the Torah, a person can't claim ignorance. You can't claim ignorance. It's like in English law, I have to, ignorance is no defense in the law. You know, you don't realize not supposed to pass a W in the line. double parking, but you know, it was no defense of the law. Here as well, you can't protest shogeg with the course of the cross. You can't protest, I didn't know if it's clearly expressed in the Torah. If it's not clearly expressed in the Torah, there's some debate as to exactly what that means and the parameters of that. But if it's clearly expressed in the Torah, you cannot protest, I did not know. So the Rosh brings that as a caveat on this. Even that Gemara says, leave them with their inadvertent transgression, that's only when we can assume that it is inadvertent. If it is expressed in the Torah, we have to assume it is with knowledge. If it's with knowledge, then it's amazing. If it's amazing, you've got nothing to lose by continuing to protest. There's no risk of upgrading their transgression. Their transgression is already at top level. So let's just summarize where we've come so far and wrap up. We started off with the Pesukim. The Pesukim is talking about Hakeyat Sophia. And between the Farshim of the Rishonim reports in terms of being careful not to transgress. Either it means don't embarrass them, or it means don't carry their iniquity, or it means don't carry the hate in your heart. Then we have the Red Tomorrows, which emphasize the importance of this. Okay, the thing has to be a mere comment, even at the risk of possible injury to yourself, according to some shippers, etc. And then we have two Tomorrows that pull in the other direction. One Tomorrow that says, don't say something that cannot be heard. And another Tomorrow that says, be very careful not to upgrade their transgression. We're basically given two Mephoroshim, two Chotim, to reconcile these two Tomorrows. The Namuki Yosef makes a distinction between Rabbim and Yosef. When it comes to Rabbim, you protest once, and then the Gemara kicks in, don't say something that cannot be heard. When it comes to a yachid, you keep going, and you keep going, and you keep going, and even if they're finding it difficult, listen, you keep going. You must also be careful, even when it comes to a yachid, not to upgrade their transgression. That's also important. Well, the author there, quoting the Shulah, learns differently. He learns the difference is not between the rabbin and the yachid. The difference is between the type of yachid within it. You always protest, either rabbin or yachin, doesn't bring any distinction on that front at all, unless you're absolutely convinced that they think they're doing nothing wrong at all. Not that they're doing something wrong, and they know it's wrong, but they say, I'm going to do it anyway. If they believe it's not wrong at all, they believe it, they refuse to acknowledge there's any wrong involved in their transgression whatsoever. That's the distinction between the Gemara. The Gemara that says keep going is when they need to acknowledge a wrong, even if they're being rebellious about it. But the Gemara that says, hang on, hold fire, is where they refuse to acknowledge there's a wrong whatsoever. Okay. Just to finish off, it's clear it's obvious really, but Hirsch articulates this, that the whole dinner of Hirsch this year has built an Arabic. You see, you have to really care for somebody who wants to be able to engage in that level of interaction, even if they're going to hit you. You have to really care for them at a level of real depth. You know, I care for them so much, and I feel for them in the summer so much. But, you know, I'm prepared to even risk hurting myself to try and save them from themselves. And I'm always reminded of a story, which is probably quite familiar, but I like it. So you're going to hear it again. Probably, yes. Rabbi Tversky, I think I may have heard it from himself, have I presented it accurately. One occasion when he was, Professor Abraham Tversky, he was a young boy, Abraham, and he was in his father's house, and they had visitors beyond him, over Rosh Hashanah. And there was a visiting rabbi there who challenged the young Abraham to work with a game of chess on Rosh Hashanah afternoon. And he said to him, Rosh Hashanah, and the rabbi said to him, no, fine, I'm telling you it's fine, we can play chess. Play chess. A few days later, Rabbi Tversky writes, and he's summoned into his father's study. Picture the scene there, his father sitting there in front of the desk, makes his young son stand in front of him, and after 2 minutes he looks up and he says to him, you played chess on Rosh Hashanah. So, I'm becoming a geek, I've done that. So his father continues writing, and he describes the embarrassment he felt. I let everybody down, my family down. After a few seconds, his father looks up again and says to him, did you beat him? And that magnificent combination of hokeya, hokeha, which means that he should see for himself how he failed, shouldn't be rammed down his throat, he should see for himself how he failed. On the other hand, with such sensitivity, lots of knowledge of the skills that he had, is the Hohoha, which really exemplifies the principle of Arabic and the principle of Hapoel Hoshma.